Well, if you go and look at the top-selling books, the best-selling books, there is a preponderance of those books that are fiction, made-up world, a made-up story. If you look at the things that we tend to watch at the movie theater that are blockbusters, it's big stuff like Aquaman or a Marvel movie or something like that that takes us out of the normal grind of life. Harry Potter, do a Harry Potter thing, it takes you to another world, and man, massive, massive best-selling. Netflix, the smash most watched thing on Netflix recently that they've created is Bird Box. No matter where you are, if you've seen Bird Box, if you have Netflix, this is, if you've seen Bird Box, anybody, a few people, more and more and more. It is a rage. It's a rage that has overtaken many of us who, you know, like Netflix or like to escape and go some different place. It's a really, really crazy premise. The premise is that there are these creatures that are around that if you were to see one of these creatures, something would happen to you and you would immediately want to kill yourself. And so what people are doing so they don't see these creatures is they're wandering around in blindfolds or blacking out the windows, whatever they need to do to not see this creature. Bird Box author Josh Malerman said this, because the creatures can't be seen, it's almost like taking a magnifying glass to the unknown. The concept that we're afraid of most is the unknown. Bird Box is the unknown turned up to 10 or 11. It's the unknown, fear of the unknown. And we are drawn into the unknown. We're drawn into fantasy worlds. Why is that? I think if an anthropologist would come to our culture and unearth all of our entertainment choices, that anthropologist, in trying to understand us, would say, but these people are really into the fantasy thing, the sci-fi thing, the mystery thing, the things that can't be explained. Well, what does that say about these people? What it says about us is we're looking for something to get us out of the grind. We're looking for something to elevate our mind. We're looking for something to help us to escape maybe our humdrum ongoing life. And the good news is, the truth is, the reason why we're creating these things and drawn to these things, because in many situations, those things are real. They exist, though we only know them from the fictional author's perspective. The Bible is filled with descriptions of a world that we can't see, a world that we don't understand. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, in the New Testament part of the Bible, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So when you and I think we're having a struggle with somebody else who has flesh and blood, when you and I think that we're at odds with somebody else, when you and I are fighting and heckling and against somebody who has different beliefs than us or is doing different things than us, and there's just this tension, kind of like in America right now, this tension. The Bible says that isn't because we're against one another. It's because there's a different realm with principalities and authorities that's influencing us. There's a different realm that's causing us to be at odds with one another. There's a different place that's affecting and infecting our world. And the Bible doesn't completely describe this. The Bible doesn't try to give us this A to Z perfect epiphany of exactly what a spiritual realm looks like and exactly how it operates and exactly how we should live now and exactly, it doesn't. We see glimpses, little windows throughout the entire Bible. One of the ones that's a bit more just interesting for me. It's just intriguing. All of us, one of the questions I get all the time is, how come God doesn't answer prayer? Why didn't God answer my prayer? The prayer that I had for this thing. Why didn't God answer that? My response to that is, God answers every prayer. It's just yes, no, or wait. Yes, no, or wait. He answers every single prayer. Sometimes when we are waiting or when something isn't happening, there's something happening in the spirit realm that's causing it. One of the heroes in the Bible, his name is Daniel. He feels like he's alone. He's under Persian rule, and he is Nebuchadnezzar is kind of over him doing his thing, and Daniel is a Jew, and he's a minority, and things are just not going well for him. And so he's praying to God to help him and make things right. And all of a sudden one day, an angel shows up, and it says this in the book of Daniel chapter 10. The angel says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard," because God hears every prayer, "and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia." This is like really wild. We just see like a slight glimpse into something that happens in the spirit realm that we can't even understand. Daniel has not been hearing a yes to his prayer for 21 days, not because God wants to say no to it, but the angel comes to him and says, "Hey man, we've been at war. Dude, I gotta tell you, it's like I'm trying to get here, trying to do my part, but there's these other spiritual entities that are keeping that from happening." He starts mentioning like princes of Persia. There's princes, there's presidents, there's governors, I don't know, there's kings, I don't know. All these different like hierarchy authorities in a realm that we can't see that are affecting us today. And he says, finally, Michael, the archangel, he's a butt kicker. He kind of came and he finally flicked this Persia guy aside, and then I was able to get here. This is just really odd. Again, if you ever felt like there's a struggle, if you've ever felt like there's something more, it's because there is. It's because there is. If you've ever felt like something alive happens in you when you watch Game of Thrones and you see something that's beyond the normal, if something comes up and you, the rear, it's because you want that. It's because you want that. You want there to be dragons. You want there to be something that you haven't known, because God has set eternity in our hearts. Because we're not human beings with spiritual properties, we're spiritual beings with human properties. We have the desire and the ability to understand things, sense things, want things, do things that are beyond the normal. I just want us to be aware of three things. Just want us to say, this is awareness today, right? Awareness. We just need to be aware that we are bored. We are bored. We ought to have a boredness awareness campaign. That's some multinational corporation should pray for or pay for a boredness awareness campaign in our country, because we are a bored bunch of sad sacks is what we are. We just are. It's why we have so much screen time. It's why we binge watch. We're just bored, man. We're trying to find something that stimulates us. And the crazy thing is, as we find something to stimulate us, we end up getting more and more numb. We end up getting more and more black and white. We're bored. I encourage you, find some way to get out of your normal routines. Find some way to experience things in this world in full color. I don't know if that's a vacation that you take. I don't know if it's a new hobby you pick up. I don't know if it's a new genre of book you read. Find something that gets you out of the normal rhythms, because we're bored. And when we're bored, really bad things happen. One of the podcasts I listen to regularly, it's called The Art of Manliness. And Brett McKay, who's the originator of that podcast, he said this: "Adventure is the element of a full life that is perhaps most neglected in modern society, and it's one of the most crucial. The problem is that in our age of technological revolution, we have written off adventure and exploration as things of the past, no longer necessary things to our newfound, ever-evolving capabilities." Now, I know some of you are confused here right now, like, hold. You're talking like prayer, and you're talking like principalities and spiritual, and now you're talking about adventure and canoeing? Wait. Prayer, canoeing, like what does that? It has a lot to do with itself, a lot. Because both of those things are about getting us outside of our normal rhythms, getting us outside. And physically and spiritually, we are one. We are physical and spiritual entities. And if our bodies aren't being put into new stimulating places, which is one of the reasons why I believe attending church every week is really, really good and really, really important, because you get to step into some place that's stimulating you in a way that nothing else anywhere is going to do that. In fact, I just saw a statistic last week. that those who practice religion, not adhere to religion, practice religion, are happier than those who don't. Maybe it's because we're stepping into an adventure, doing things that we normally wouldn't do. And we need to be physically in places where we're being stretched and being pushed in order for God to break through. Because in those places, we need God. We see things about God that we don't see in our normal 9-to-5 job. That's why we love camps around here. We have a thriving thing of getting people out in the wild. Man camp signups are closing soon. You can go to crossroads.net/mancamp. This is challenge, man camp challenge. This time, yes, I'm not sure if that's going to mean we're going to have a lot less people who don't want to be challenged, or it could mean we have a lot more people because people are going, man, I need to be pushed a little bit. Maybe man camp isn't for you, but something has got to be for you and I beyond our normal day-to-day mundane life. We are bored. We look at Bird Box. The really troubling thing about Bird Box isn't that it's another fantasy thing that's taking us away from the real world. I like fantasy things that take me away from the real world. Nothing wrong. This is not an anti-fantasy, sci-fi, anti-fiction book message. It's not. It's just recognizing why the draw, why the hours that we have invested in those things. But Bird Box is a different thing. Like when I watch Superman, I look at that and say, oh yeah, I watch Superman, because really, at the cry of all of our hearts, we all want to be Superman. We all want to have strength, right? We all want, when you read Harry Potter, it makes sense. At the cry of all of our hearts, we all want to believe there was something about us at birth, something about way, way back when, that we've just got to sort of uncover, and it's going to open up a whole new world. We all want that. I'm like, I understand this thing. But then when you look at Bird Box, you're like, this is weird, man. This is like, do I really want to kill myself? Yes, we do as Americans. Our suicide rate is skyrocketing. Our reaction to Bird Box is very appropriate to what our current emotional and spiritual state is as Americans. In Forbes magazine, they said, gazing into the abyss of nihilism prompts the desire to commit suicide. Life is short, brutal, pointless, doomed to end in tragedy regardless. Why not just end things now and join the peaceful ranks of the deceased? Why not open other people's eyes to the same terrible truth? This is their commentary on Bird Box, what it's actually saying, what it's communicating. Last week in the Super Bowl preaching, I talked about this. By the way, last week was a painful week for me. Chuck did beat me. He did at least 3 out of 5. I can't remember exactly. We actually had to preach off our teams 5 times. People like think with those it's fixed. No, it's not fixed. All those random phrases are truly random. We've never seen any of them before. There are penalties that are called every single service that we didn't see coming. So he wins some, I win some. This is the first time in a while that I lost the majority of it. And I'm not bitter either. Doesn't bother me at all. Really doesn't. Like I said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. You know, so I'm already fired up for next year. I kid you not. This is going to be a bad year for Chuck Mingo. I'll tell you that right now. My gosh. And Allie Patterson, I'll just say it right now. She preaches like a girl. She does. Where was I? Oh, yes. I talked about being created in the image of God. And there's things that we have as capacities that nothing else created has. You know, one of those things that we have that nothing else that's created does? We can kill ourselves. We have capacities to create and capacities to destroy that only humans have, because only humans are created in the image of God. No deer ever runs off a cliff to kill himself. Your dog will never raid your medicine cabinet to OD or intentionally try to find mushrooms to kill himself with. No bird has ever willfully flown into a wall. Never crosses their mind. But us, because we're in the midst of a spiritual battle, because there's things happen, we have thoughts, we have urges, we have desires, we have abilities that nothing else has, and they get bastardized, they get hurt, and we hurt ourselves. because there is a spiritual realm that is affecting us. And all I want to do today is to make us aware. And I don't want to caveat everything to death. I'll just make this one caveat. Just because someone commits suicide, that individual one doesn't mean that there was a spiritual attack there. Maybe it was a chemical thing in their brain on that specific thing. But here's what I also know. There is an evil force, and no matter how he accomplishes it, you know what he wants? He wants you gone. He wants you eliminated. And if he can eliminate you by making you bored, same thing. If he can keep you, come on now. That's right. If he can keep you on the sidelines inside of your own little cocoon from engaging with God and engaging the world, then he's won. He's won. That's the second thing I want to make you aware of. We're deluded. We're deluded. We're not only bored, we are deluded. We hear so often that we're all just a product of evolution and this and that. And I'm not anti-evolution, by the way. I'm anti-atheistic evolution. But I tell you what I am anti. I am anti you thinking that God didn't knit you together in your mother's womb. I am anti you thinking that you're just a random amalgamation of proteins. I am anti you thinking you're nothing. Because if you're nothing, why wouldn't you do Bird Box? Why wouldn't you just off yourself? That's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie from an enemy that's trying to depress who you are. You are so important. You are so valuable. You're so valuable that you have identities and capacities that only God has. You are incredibly precious, incredibly important. And to think that you're not, and that you're no different than your dog, is a delusion that obviously leads to us having a mundane, boring, black and white life, because at the end of the day, you're really not special. You're really not important. And you know that's not the case. You know that. In the book of Matthew, chapter 17, throughout the entire Bible, the Bible is an incredibly practical book, and it just keeps dropping these bombshells that goes like, oh, that explodes my understanding of that. Oh, that opens up a whole new world of understanding I didn't see. Oh, it just keeps dropping them one by one. And Jesus, who's known as the greatest teacher in the history of the world, everyone views him that way, everyone does, he would teach things that would be really odd, and he would do things that were really odd. One scenario, there's a guy who's got a son, and this son is possessed by a demon, and he keeps throwing himself into the fire. It's like he's chief's trying to commit suicide, but it's not him who's doing it, it's another force that's doing it. And the disciples of Jesus are with his dad, and the dad comes to them and has them pray for his son, but nothing really happens. And so the dad comes and searches out Jesus, says, hey, Jesus, can you help me here? Because disciples came and they did the prayer. It didn't work. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 17:17. Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? This is lovey-dovey Jesus here. Calling everybody a pervert. That's what he says. Perverse generation. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about the dad? Is he talking about the disciples? Talking about all of one. Everyone there? Everyone. He says, you folks, you just don't get it. You're not up for something that's deeper. You're not up for trying something that's out of the normal. You're not up. How long do I have to put up with this? Why can't I help you get shaken out of your doldrums of only seeing things on this plane and helping you see things that are on another line? How long should I put up with you? I've been doing this for years. You just keep self-medicating. You keep ignoring that there's something else in life. You keep refusing to believe that there is something different that's there. Rather than explain this away, because what we have to do, whenever Jesus says something really strong, we just want to explain it away. Say, well, Jesus was really saying was, well, why don't we just sit in the rebuke as Jesus rebukes all of us? Why don't we just sit in it and allow Jesus to call us all a pervert? You perverse generation, how long should I put up with you? Why don't we just sit in it and say, do I live my life any different than an atheist? Am I really a functional atheist? Like, I don't check the box atheism, but if you take a look at how I live my life, functionally, I'm an atheist. Do I manage my money as if it's God's money? Do I manage it like an atheist would? When I hear of pain and suffering, do I do what atheists would do, or I do something different? When I hear somebody who's got a physical pain, a problem, a mental problem, do I do what atheists do and just recommend counseling? Or do I actually believe that I could put my hands on that person and I could pray and it just might make a difference? We have to sit in the rebuke and wonder, would Jesus look at the way that we respond to issues and would he say, how long do I have to put up with you, dude? Sheesh. Are you not getting it? This world keeps telling us that this world is all there is, and I'm telling you, it's not true. This world is not all that is. Sometimes I read things in the Bible, and I'm like, that's interesting, that's cool. I've never seen that in my life. And then sometimes I see it, something happens. I had this happen recently in the world of the demons. I've always believed that demons exist for a couple reasons. One, Jesus did, that's good enough for me. He believed they exist. And also, there's so much pain and heartache in this world. To just believe it's random chance that's bringing around this heartache has never made sense to me. There's got to be some other spiritual entity that's causing havoc in our minds and our lives and our relationships. Has to be. And a demon is a good one. Like, oh, okay, there is. Now, having said that, I'm not one of these demon behind every door and demon under every bush. I'm not ready to blame things on demons. It could have been the pizza you had last night that made you throw up, not a demon. You know, I'm really not. But I've always believed that they exist and they're active, even if I haven't seen some of the classic telltale signs of demons that you would see if you read in the book of New Testament, in the New Testament. Several months ago, I was sitting around a campfire and just talking with a few dudes, and this one guy I knew was having a hard time in his marriage because he had an adulterous affair some time ago, and that was interfering with his life and the marriage. And I said, "So, tell me what happened." So he's talking, and as he's talking, he starts talking about this woman, and then this woman, the person he had the affair with. And I said, "Well, what's her name? Tell me what her name is." He goes, I can't tell you your name. I said, yeah, you can. Just tell me your name. What's your name? So he went, her name is. And I realized, oh my gosh, something. He goes, and I get up and I kick him in the shin and I go, what's her freaking name? Not the exact F word I used either way, by the way. Kicked him in the shin because I realized, there's a real demon here. There's a real demon here. And he goes, her name is, and he's doing that. I put my hands on him. I start praying for him. And he goes, her name is, and foam starts coming out of his mouth. And saliva starts coming out of his mouth. And he goes, and he keeps his mouth open. And stuff is just pouring out of his mouth for like a minute, creating a pool right there. Chuck Mingo was there. Four other dudes were there. Not making this up. You can talk with any of them. That was a literal demon that came out of this dude, right? Had the best night's sleep he's had, like he said, like forever. What do you know? Came back and his marriage is starting to go on the right track again. I still don't understand exactly what happened. I honestly don't understand it all. I could give you all the pros and cons of what this meant and why this didn't mean that or why this. I'm honestly more confused than I was than enlightened right now. All I'm telling you, is there is a real spiritual world. There is a realm, and that was just my latest example in an extreme sense with what that is. That realm is affecting and infecting you every day. And that realm is trying to get you bored, trying to numb you out, and trying to incapacitate you. Last week, I have a friend of mine who, man, she's had a huge impact on this church as a volunteer for a long, long time. Get the word that she's had a heart attack. She's got three little kids. She's had a heart attack. Massive heart attack. No one saw us coming. She's incredibly fit. Big runner. Massive heart attack on the floor. She's white. her husband comes in, CPR, calls 911. They have what's called the Widowmaker, the massive thing just got stuck and just oxygen without brain, brain bone without oxygen for a while. So people who are in her circle, like texts are coming, hey, we need to gather together and pray and pray. And so 7 days ago, 200 people had assembled in a room and we were just worshiping. It wasn't like a doldrum, like, oh, I'm gonna be depressed right now. It was a, hey, we're gonna have hope that God can do things that can't happen medically, and we're just gonna praise him. We're just gonna sing songs. We're gonna encourage God and exalt his name. And somewhere in the midst of that, as we pray, we're gonna trust that something is gonna be tilted in the heavenly realms. As we do that, and as she's in a coma, and as she's hooked up, then we get this text. Hey, from her husband. A little from the CT scan, no major trauma, but they can't see positively or negatively what recovery looks like, or at least not in the physical. We feel very positive in our spirits that the Lord will fully heal and restore her. At 7:30, a worship service, that was what I'm talking about, 7:30, a worship service, hundreds of people started worshiping the Lord and appealing to him in Jesus' name. And at that very moment, her eyes, for the first time in a while, opened and she was listening to us talk to her. She's since been, been cleared that despite the lack of oxygen to her brain for a while and all that stuff, she had no long-term medical effects on her brain, none. She's heard physicians told them, this is their word, this is miraculous. Now it's miraculous because I know that many of us have prayed for things that haven't happened. Miraculous is the right term because miraculous is not, this is best practices. It's not, if you have a worship service and if you pray and if God likes you, then you get a miracle. No, it wouldn't be called miracle. It would be called logical outcome. It's called miracle, but it happens. And the only way those things happen, you have a shot at those happening, is if you get on a different page, is if you get on a different realm. If you start believing things differently than bored, humdrum, lifeless people, that you start doing things that bored, humdrum, normal, successful Americans don't do. You have to get onto a different page of living, a different page of belief. And I think part of why we don't do this is we are intimidated. That's the third thing I'd say. We're intimidated. We're intimidated by things we don't understand. And today I'm trying not to freak us out with anything. I'm just trying to raise your what? Your awareness, right? And allow you to do with this whatever you want to do, but just to shake you a little bit and say, hey man, there's more. There is. There's more. If you're feeling there's more, it's because there's more. There's more, and don't be intimidated by people who might want to spiritually bully you, or don't be intimidated by people who may have rational reasons why this stuff doesn't exist. Just put your toe in the waters, check it out. There's all kinds of ways to do this. It isn't just necessarily prayer either, but that's significant. It's also things recognizing that your friends who may not know Jesus, they are being won by right now by a spiritual force that's separating them from their creator. And you get on a different plane when you want to invite people into relationship with God. I always wonder, like, when those of us aren't praying for people that we know that don't know Christ, aren't inviting them to things like Super Bowl, I always wonder, like, man, what's gone cold in your heart? I mean, if you come to the point where you just take God for granted, you don't even feel him, you know, his love doesn't overwhelm you and astound you. You know, when I come across something that is mind-blowing, I want everyone to know it. I like Bird Box. So I'm telling you, watch Bird Box. I liked it. It's not a crack on Bird Box. It's crack on the message of the Bird Box. I like it. And I just go, man, do we have no fire in our bellies for God and his ways and our friends? I wonder. I don't want to be bored. I don't want to be numbed out. When I find out about a young woman who just has that burn, I'm inspired. Check this person out in our community.
Bringing Crossroads to Athens was like my vision, and I was like, we can do home church. And we'll have coffee and stuff. It's just been super sweet. You have no rival. a lot of us that come to watch Crossroads are like intentionally following Jesus. Like we all like live life together and just like push each other towards Jesus.
There are some words that I want to read to you from Romans chapter 13.
Just like the most influential piece of like what church is like a community of people coming together to like dive deep into who Jesus is.
That is amazing. That's somebody who's living on a different level, who sees something that's beyond. I just want to finish off with some bank shots. Bank shot ideas for you today. Not things you have to do, just ideas, because today I just wanted to make you aware, right? But I can't help it. I always have to have an application. Just some quick things for you to think about. One is this. If you're feeling these ways, if you're feeling black and white, if you're feeling numbed out, if you're feeling intimidated, one thing you might want to do is take a vacation. Yeah, take a break. Take a break. Our world doesn't take a break any longer. We don't know how to take breaks. We leave vacation days on the table, and yet God had in the top 10 list of the 10 commandments to take a Sabbath. It might be that we need to shake things up and take a rest. And take a rest differently. Like, don't binge watch on your rest. Go take a walk. Put yourself in a dangerous spot where you might die. Seriously. And if you're always putting yourself in this dangerous spot where you might die, try something different, like binge watch. You try something. But seriously, just get in, try something different. Take a rest, take a break, shut the mental circuits down. Here's another one. Pray out loud. Pray out loud. If there is a different realm that's out there, and if there's forces out there, I don't know that they can hear my mind. I know they can hear my voice. There's power in the words. Pray out loud. The refusal to pray is what leads to not praying. Not praying is punishment for the refusal to pray. The more we pray, the more comfortable we get with it, and we just need to try and do it out loud. Do it out loud. Take a different position. Go on your knees. You know, when you go on your knees, it's like you're signaling to God, like, oh man, this person's important right now. Because I'm actually humbling myself. I'm exposing my neck the way I would to a ruler on Game of Thrones. I'm exposing my neck and saying, Lord, you are my ultimate king. You can take me out at any time. I humble myself and lower myself beneath you. And you find even just taking this, I'm just naturally praying right now. I'm not even preaching. I'm just praying right now. You naturally take on a different thing than if you're just sitting on your couch with your blanket on your lap. Try something new. Shake it up a little bit. Here's another one. Call the girl. Call her. Call her. Speak to all the young males. Our world is stealing from us. It's numbing us out. And our devices are keeping us from being men. We got to stop asking people out electronically. And we definitely got to stop breaking up with people electronically. We have to do that. It's numbing us out. It's numbing us out. Hey, let's ask someone, like, real face. Hey, would you like to see a movie sometime? And actually put her heart out there and risk that she's going to squash it and we're going to be rejected. We're going to be rejected at some point in our life. Let's start early. Let's get used to it early. And I tell you what, again, that's not normal. It's increasingly odd to actually have face-to-face conversations, to do vulnerable things. Decide to give money. Part with it. It's one thing that tells God, I'm going a different way. And I can hear all the people who are now going to say, oh, you're trying to get money. Yes, I hear all of you who are numbed out and are clueless on a different realm. I hear you. Stop emailing me. Go on a fast. Jesus says one time this kind comes out through prayer and fasting. Fasting. Like we're hungry. We don't have food. We save time that we're not cooking, eating, and cleaning. And now we can pray. And every time I have a hunger pain, I'm asking God, do I hunger for food or do I hunger more for your spirit in my life? Which do I want more? Fast from social media for a week. Do a relational evaluation. If you had all your credit cards stolen and you were on vacation and you could only get funds through PayPal, do you have three people who you could call after your accounts were shut down and they would wire you money immediately, who would you ask? Do you know any, are you in great friendships that you could reach out and meet and say, and someone would send you $500 to get you home, or 100 or 50 or whatever it is? Identify who those people were. Go forward with it. I've got a bunch more things to talk about on this area. I'm not going to right now because I'm kind of fired up about something separate but related next week, so I'll talk about that next week. Last thing I'll give is Matthew 17, 19, 22. This is the end of the story. This is very encouraging. It's the end of the story. And here's what it happens. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why couldn't we cast out the demon?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." I don't know if Jesus is talking about literal physical mountains moving. I don't know if he's talking about my personal, emotional, spiritual mountains. I think he's talking about a mountain that was man-made over in Jerusalem. I've seen it a number of times. I don't want to do a deep dive on exactly what this is, but here's what I do want to just point out. How much faith do you have to see things move? How much faith do you have to get out of your bored, rundown, intimidated? How much? Mustard seed. Mustard seed. You don't have to believe a little. That's all you got to do. Do not be threatened by the spiritual bullies who tell you and I that you can't have any doubts. You can have plenty of doubts. You just got to have a mustard seed of faith. Just got to have a little bit that says, "Oh, I think I believe." One time someone comes to Jesus and says, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Wait, you believe, but yet you need help with your unbelief. Now, which is it? Which is it? This is not like you need to have 100% certainty before you tap into something different. You need to have just a little to get started. Just a little, and a little bit of movement that says to God, "I want something more. I want to go someplace different. I want to feel different things. I want to feel different things. I don't want normal. I don't want it." And God doesn't want normal for you either, because you're not normal. You're created in the very image of God, and you have capacities to sense things and feel things and believe things and do things that nothing else can. That's how great your life is. Live your color-filled life. God, I thank you that you elevate our games beyond the mundane, and I hope that's happened today. Help us make any right applications, and if we don't make any applications, I know that we are now aware of something that we need to be wise about. God, thank you for giving all of us more than we deserve, and helping us see things we never thought we'd see. Amen.